Genesis chapter 22. You know, Wednesday night I talked about, for you all that weren't here, and just to let you know about it, I talked about the Old Testament, that the Bible teaches that it's a schoolmaster for us. Okay, and the word schoolmaster meant a tutor or an instructor. And I talked about the fact that the Old Testament, of course, is for us a tutor to show us things to do and things not to do. Okay, you can look at the Old Testament and you can see things there that they did that didn't please God. You can see things they did that did please God. And then I took it a step farther to say this, that you and I are schoolmasters for the generations that are coming up behind us. And as parents, especially for our kids. And I just think it bears repeating that we understand and know what we're the one that is making the way for our kids, because our kids imitate us. They watch us. They see what we do. They look at our patterns and see what our patterns are, and that'll be their patterns. And a lot of times, you know, just like maybe we didn't live up to something our parents did, our kids won't either. They'll get to the point, you know, to where, you know, if you don't want to go to church, they sure don't. Come on now. So we talked about the fact that we ought to be setting patterns in our lives to be a schoolmaster to our kids, so they can say, well, I know one thing, Mom and Dad never miss church. You instill that into them. And you also instill into them the fact that Mom and Dad never would let us stay home. Oh, it got real quiet. I know what they do to you. And we actually talked about the fact that the kids are not the boss. You are. You're the one that tells your kids what to do. But we're living in times now, you know, and it's everything's so messed up now that just like the world's kind of messed up, and right's wrong, wrong's right. With families, a lot of times the kids are telling everybody what to do. And that ought not to be so. Amen. We ought to be teaching our kids, because they don't know. Now, they may be smarter than us on a lot of things when it comes to electronics, computers, that kind of stuff. But when it comes to common sense, they don't have but what you give them. I'm just going a little further with this than what I thought I would, but I thought, you know, you're here tonight. I mean, today, so I can kind of just tell you, we need to be raising up our kids and showing them the right way. Come on, they need to see our example that on Sunday, we go to church. On Wednesday, we go to church. Amen. And I'm not saying this to bring a condemnation on anybody. I'm telling you that your life is a schoolmaster for your children and your family and people around you. What will your children be able to look back and say about you once you're gone? And should Jesus tarry, we're all leaving here. And I hope Stephanie can look back and say, my dad was an example of a godly man, and he taught me what I should do so I can follow in his footsteps. Amen. Amen. You see, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And if you'll follow Christ and your kids will follow you, then you'll take them the way of Christ. You're going to keep them on the path. And that's what's important, church. Listen, don't matter what they accomplish in this earth. It don't mean nothing. Paul said, everything about my life I counted as dung that I might win Christ. Come on. You see, and here's the thing about it, church. We have to understand and teach our kids that their first love has to be Jesus. They can like sports, they can like other things, but they should love Jesus. And Jesus should come first in your life and their life. And so just think about that a little bit as we move on, because we're going to talk about, not only is the Old Testament and the law a schoolmaster to show us things not to do and things to do, it also, many times, there were parallels there in the Word of God in the Old Testament that was actually speaking of things that would be to come. It was actually showing us some patterns here. And so we're going to look at this in Genesis chapter 22, starting in verse 1, and we're going to see a pattern here. And let's just begin to read it. Now, I'm going to read you 19 verses, because I know you probably ain't read the Word any this week. Good. I heard some people say, yes, I have. So that's an amen. I'm just messing with you, okay? But I want to read this, but I want to get you the story out there. It says, and it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham. Now, let me just stop real quick there, because the Bible says that God tempteth no man. So you've got to understand that in the Old Testament, there were only causative verbs. There were no permissive verbs. Okay? So everything in the Old Testament is that God caused this, God did this, and God did that. Instead, it's God allowed this. Okay? And so here when it talks about tempted, though, if you go back and you look in the Greek, you'll find out that it means to test or to prove. So God is testing Abraham, okay? He's proving him there. Now, the Bible does say that God would never tempt anybody with evil. Okay? And so this is a test for Abraham, to allow Abraham to prove out something here. And so he says that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I, or here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Man, this is already getting intense, isn't it? I mean, you think about that. Abraham waited, you know, all this time, 25 years, to finally see a son come to pass. And at 100 years old, he finally gets to have a son. And now God is telling him to take that son and offer him for a burnt sacrifice. Wow. Think about that one for just a minute now. Let's go on. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there. And he laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and thou hast not withheld thine own only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sands which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Now, I want you to just look at this for just a minute, and I know many of you know it, and we've talked about it in times past. But actually, Abraham, God having Abraham offer up Isaac, his only son, was a parallel. It was an example of what Jesus, of what God would do with his own son, Jesus Christ. So I want you to notice here that when you look at that, he says, I'm going to prove you. And then, you know, it says on the third day. Does that sound familiar? On the third day, Abraham saw the place of sacrifice. You know, the Bible talks about on the third day that Jesus would rise from the dead. Notice that Abraham, in faith now, he told his servants, he said, I'm the lad's going to go worship and we'll return to you. You see, Jesus said, I'm going away, but if I go away, I will come again. So we see some things here. And then we see that the ram was offered instead of his son. God took care of him. So Abraham had just mirrored what God was going to do, because when you look, you see that Jesus was tested some 33 and a half years, yet without sin. He walked upon this earth a sinless man for 33 and a half. That's just hard to comprehend, isn't it? But you see, that's what the Bible says about Jesus. He was without sin. Now, he became sin for us. And what that meant was he took upon himself our sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God. But Jesus himself never sinned. Jesus was the lamb that God provided for himself. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Of course, the third day, Jesus rose again. Now, Jesus once again had told his disciples, I'm going to go away, but I'll come again. So we see all the similitudes of these two stories in this. Now, I want you to understand that everything Abraham did, everything he had to do, he did in faith because he knew God would provide for him. Church, we're faith people. We need to understand, Abraham is known as the father of our faith. We're blessed with faithful Abraham. We are people of faith. Amen. See, you got saved by faith, right? By grace are you saved through faith. So you got to understand that you are a faith person. You have to operate. Matter of fact, the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So the things that we do need to be of faith. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 through 19. Let me just read this to you, because this is the New Testament account of that in just a summarized version. It says this in verse 17 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, what's that mean? Well, it means this. Abraham that believed that even if he killed his son, because God had promised him that son, that he would raise him from the dead if he had to. But he was going to believe God, and he was going to kill Isaac if God had not stopped him. And notice that. It said he believed that he was able to raise him. And in a similitude, he raised him up. That's what he received. Really, that's what the Bible is saying is this. Is literally, Abraham in his mind, Isaac's dead. But God stopped him. So he kept him from being dead. And so that's what the Bible talks about, you know, raised him up there in a manner. So when we look at this, we have to understand this, church, that God would never ask us to do something that he wouldn't do himself. Do you ever think about that? God's not going to ask you to do something that he would not do for himself. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says this. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, everybody say all points, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There it is again, without sin. But the Bible says he was tempted in all points, just like you and I. So everything that you and I go through, sometimes we think, well, I'm the only one going through this. No, the Lord Jesus has already been through it for you. He's been through that temptation already through you. He's been through that thing already through for you. And he says, if I can overcome, you can overcome. Matter of fact, because of him, that's how we overcome, okay? So now let's think about this. If God was willing to give up his only son so that our sin could be forgiven, you know, is it a big thing for him to ask us to receive forgiveness of sin by believing that Jesus died on the cross, was placed in the tomb, and rose on the third day? Is that too much to ask? If God was willing to give up his only son and have him be crucified on the cross? See, we have to, when we see this, it was so important to God what he's going to do that he made sure that Abraham went through it in emotion. And then when it came time, God absolutely gave his only son. He gave us Jesus. The best heaven had to offer was given for you and I. The highest price possible to pay was given for you and I. So that you and I could have salvation, so that we could be saved, so that we could keep from having to go to hell, right? Now, see, here's the thing about it. If God wanted us to, he could make us worship him. He's God, right? I mean, you know, if that's what he wanted, he could make us do anything. Can I tell you something? He did not even make the angels do anything. God gave us a free will. He gave the angels a free will. Satan had a free will. Doesn't it blow your mind sometimes to think that Satan's in heaven, praise and worship leader in heaven, and he thought and got it in his mind and his heart that he was going to raise up above God. Think about that one for a minute. And then here's the thing that kind of really blows your mind is the fact that he was able to deceive a third part of the angels and get them to rebel against heaven at the same time. So, you know, when people have free will, they can be influenced. So it's important what you listen to, who you listen to. Make sure that what you're hearing is the Word of God and is backed by the Word of God, not just by denominational belief or what some preacher says. I don't want you to take just my word for it. I want you to look in the Word and see if you can't find it. And if you can't find it in the Word, come to me. We'll sit down. Right? The Bible says, come, let us reason together. We'll see where it's at in the Word of God. Amen. I don't want to preach you something that's just in some man's book. What some man thinks about it. Do you see, you understand when you read a book. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some good books. I thank God for people like Kenneth E. Hagin, Dad Hagin. His books helped me when I was still in the denominational church to get my eyes open to more truth. But you know, it does, his books are not greater than the Bible. And I had to read what was his opinion sometimes, but the thing about it was when I'd look at his opinion, he would back his opinion up with the Word, so then how could I dispute it? If he backed up what he said with the Word, I had to believe what he said. Right? I mean, and so I thank God for that because I didn't have anybody to go to. I didn't really know any Pentecostals. Okay? And some of the ones I knew was kind of crazy. You know, and they were probably just like us at the time, but I thought that was crazy. You know, people think we're a little crazy too, but that's all right. We've learned just to follow the Spirit. You guys was, you know, dancing and shouting and praising God a few minutes ago. That's what God loves. That's what God loves. But that wasn't what I was used to. I used to quiet church. Right? Come on now. You know, and every now and then somebody would get started. You know, one of the best services we ever had when somebody got up and got blessed by them singing. And all of a sudden they'd start, you know, so you hear it from somebody. Well, glory. And then there you go. You know, it kind of break loose. And, you know, man, that sometimes there wouldn't even be no preaching. We'd say, man, that was a good service. You know, and that's all right when you're going to have a service and then it's just the Spirit of God moving. It's good. You know, but that was about as lively as it got. But see, that's God wants you and I to be excited. He wants us to do what His Word says. And so we need to make sure we're hearing what we're supposed to hear, doing what we're supposed to do, and make sure it's all backed up by the Word of God. Right? Because God would never tell you to do something that He wouldn't do Himself. Right? So as we're looking here, and we understand that we all have a free will just like Satan had a free will. The angels had a free will. A third part of them were cast out of heaven. Really, if you think about it, it was more than a third part. Because the first angels that got in trouble was those that came down and slept with the daughters of men. Come on. You understand that? Well, actually, they may have been the second set because I guess the first set got down when he got cast out. That was the third part of the angels. And then, yeah. Okay. But there was some also that got cast out because they decided to come down and sleep with the daughters of men. That's when you had giants in the land. That too was against God. And they're bound in that pit waiting to be released at one of these days and at that time. But here's what I'm trying to say to you is we all have a free will. We have the will, the freedom to choose whether or not we receive the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made for us. You have a free will. You can choose to receive Jesus as your Savior or you can choose to reject Him as your Savior. Now I still, you know, now I look back and I wonder why in the world do we ever wait so long? Why in the world do we put off something so good? Well, the reason for that is because there's also a real devil out there. And he's always whispering in your ear. And he's always telling you how bad you are. How you're going to mess up you don't want to do that yet. You'll just mess all that up. You know, he don't want to lose you. He wants to keep you in darkness. But you have to choose to walk away from the devil. Did you hear me? You have to choose to want to be translated out of darkness over into the kingdom of His dear Son. Over into the kingdom of light. That's your choice. And so when we start looking at that and understanding that, you know, and we can say yes and we'd agree because, you know, most of us in here have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and we chose to do that. But, you know, here's the thing. He also allows us to choose whether or not we're faithful. Think about that one for a minute. He allows us to choose. For Stephanie Kidd a few minutes ago, I thought, well, she's going to start preaching my message in a few minutes here. Because God does allow us to choose whether or not we're going to be faithful. Can I ask you something? What is it you're faithful to? See, a lot of times we're faithful to our jobs. We're faithful to this and faithful to that. More than we are faithful to God. But you know, the Bible says that as far as servants go, they're supposed to be faithful. We know disciples are supposed to be faithful. Listen to this. He allows us to choose whether or not we worship Him. You know, you can come in here and sit, and we can go through a service like we just went through a few minutes ago, and you can sit there like a rock. Amen. You can just sit there and just stare and not get involved. Yeah, that's your choice. But what happens if you choose to get involved? What happens if you choose to allow the Spirit of God on the inside of you to get stirred up? Man, I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing like having the Spirit of God stirred up on the inside of you. You know, I mean, I don't remember there was a little cartoon on or something on it. I just remember the little guy sticks his hands, he's a little alien creature or something. I don't remember what it was, but anyway. He says, I got my hands in the air just like I don't care or something like that, you know. And I wish Christians would get that attitude. Get our hands in the air because we don't care what anybody thinks. We don't care what we think, even. Come on. You know, and you can look around, you see some of these people that look like they get pretty wild worshiping God. You know, they're pretty loose. I'm going to tell you, they ain't always been that way. They ain't always been that way. You know, most of them ain't anyway. You know, some of them was loose a long time ago. You know. They was loose in the world, now they're loose for you. But no. Pastorette, I'm going to use her. She said it a few minutes ago, talking about coming out of the holler. That's where she came from. I used to have to walk in that holler to get the quarter when it was snow on like it did. A year like this, it would have been a cold time for me if that had been when we was dating. Because I was going no matter what the weather was. Okay? You know? But she was always shy. She was always backward. The first time I ever was around any of my in-laws, and not in-laws, but actually family, and we went to the Apple. I got her to go. She was actually already over there. She had family over there. But the only way I could get to go with the Apple Day with her, because her mommy wouldn't let her. I don't know why she didn't trust me. Do you? she wouldn't let us go. She wouldn't let her just go with me. But we got to meet up over there. And so we're walking around over at the Apple Festival. I'm just proud as a peacock. I got this pretty little girl walking around with me. And we walk up on some of our family, some of my family, you know. And they said, oh, is this your girlfriend? You know, Pastor, it never would even look up. She wouldn't look people. She was bashful. She wouldn't even look people in the eye. So when she says that God will take you places you never even dreamed about going to, she's telling you the truth because I at that time, I'd have never seen her standing up here in front of this and telling you all about Jesus and exhorting you to worship. But God will do that. Now, the reason I'm saying that is this. She was real tight. Okay? But as she got looser and looser and looser, God was able to take her farther and farther. You see, somewhere along the line, you know, I mean, if I'm working on something, sometimes, you know, I'm trying to get loose a boulder or something and it's really tight. And I realize that if I can just get that thing just to break a little bit, if I can just get it to break, just to loose its hold, then I'm going to be able to turn it easier. So some of you need to break. Okay, you need to break loose and get loose and start worshiping God. Because I'm telling you, you only get this life one time. You only live one time. And so we need to make sure we're done. I was just thinking when I was talking about getting something loose. On my truck, the lug nut sometimes seize up through its aluminum rims, and that aluminum will cause it to seize. And so sometimes when I'm trying to take a wheel off my truck, does anybody know what a breaker bar is? I have to use a breaker bar plus the, what do you call it when you put a pipe on it? Cheater, yes, thank you. Sometimes I have to put a cheater on it, and actually I've got a 6-foot cheater. Okay? Because I mean, you know, I'm sometimes wondering, will my breaker bar outlast my pipe, you know? And one day I was out there, and man, I was putting everything I had into it. And all of a sudden it went, boom! It popped. And I thought, well, that should have done it. Well, when I pushed again, it still wouldn't move. I thought, what is the matter with this dadgum thing? And I took it off and I sat there and got to studying about it. I don't know about you guys, but I talk to myself when I'm working on something. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. You know, I mean, I'm not going to tell you it's always an intelligent conversation. I've heard people say, well, I want to talk to somebody smart. This is one of them days that I was talking to somebody that was pretty dumb. Because I sat there and I looked at that and I thought, and I said it. And I shouldn't have said it. You should never say this, so don't do this. But I said, you big dummy, you're going the wrong way with it. I popped it tighter instead of popping it looser. So when I turned the dadgone thing around, you know, and got a hold of it, when it popped the next time, it just fell loose. So maybe some of you need to get a cheater bar and make sure you go in the right direction. Okay? Don't get tighter, get looser. You have a free will to be able to do that. You can choose to worship. You can choose to do that. Don't let anybody or anything hold you back. Don't worry about what anybody's going to say. I promise you, I've seen most of you folks in here in compromised positions in the Spirit. What I mean by that, I mean I've seen you act crazy at times when the Spirit of God... Not all the time, because a lot of the time you won't let go, but I've seen you dance, run. I've seen you in the floor. Man, I've seen times when the Spirit of God move in here with laughing. The spirit of laughter. And everybody in this place just be laughing. And couldn't stop laughing. And just keep on laughing. And you just laugh. And you didn't know why you was laughing. But it was the Spirit of God. That joy boiling up on the inside. Man, that's some good times. I love it. I love that when that happens, you know. But you know, you got to let it happen. And see, one of the things I loved about that was a lot of times you'd see people like that and they'd be sitting there. You could watch their lips. They're trying their best. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just be so strong, they just go ahead and laugh. You know, why hold back? What's holding you back from worship? What's holding you back from receiving the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it that's better than having the Spirit of God move in your life? So it's a choice. You choose whether you worship. You choose whether or not you come to church. I realize, you know, when there's weather and that kind of, that's a kind of a different story. But yeah, I always gauge the things like this, and maybe I'm just a little different. But I'll be honest with you, I know what it's like to backslide. I got saved when I was 17. Matter of fact, Pastor Ed, and she's the one that took me to church, and I got saved. And you know, after we got married, I backslid. I did. I got away from God because we weren't regular church. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't make it a habit of going to church, after a while, you'll get to the point where you don't go to church. And if you get to the point where you don't go to church, I don't care what's coming out of your mouth, your lifestyle is showing where you're at. I'm living proof. So I can say that for 100% and no. You can say get on Facebook all you want to and act as spiritual as you want to. But if you don't have a desire in your heart to come to church, there's something missing. If you don't want to come fellowship with the brothers and sisters, if you don't want to come and give God glory, there's something missing. You've chosen to not come. It was your choice. Yeah, but now, Pastor, you just don't know what all we got to do. It don't matter what you got to do. You couldn't do it if God didn't give you the breath to do it. You ought to give Him glory first and then do it. Amen. So it's choices that we make. You know, Abraham had choices that he had to make. And he made a tough... Can you imagine making the choice to give up your only son? Not only did Abraham hear the words God spoke to him, he acted on those words. That's why the Bible talks about Abraham. You know, he believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Why? Because he was going to do what God said. It didn't matter. You and I hear God speak through the Holy Spirit. Are we going to act on it? Are we going to just sit around and not do anything? Abraham didn't have to offer up Isaac. But if he had not offered up Isaac, I don't believe we would be sitting here blessed like we are. Because he said, I'm going to make you a blessing. And I'll through you, all the nations are going to be blessed. I don't know about you, but I want to be doing the things that's going to get my family blessed. I want to do the things that's going to get you blessed as your pastor. I want to see you walking. I want to see you walking in faith. I want to hear your testimonies of how you used the Word of God and got your victory. How you overcame sickness and disease through the Word of God. How you overcame poverty through the Word of God and your giving. Amen. See, it gets quiet when you talk about these things, but I'm going to tell you, it's directly tied to the Word of God. Your blessing is tied to the Word. So when we hear the Word, we need to be acting on the Word, and we need to act on what God's saying to us. Now, here's the thing, folks. There's a lot of voices out there speaking. A lot of voices, but the only one that matters is the voice of God. We need to hear His voice and act on His voice. Amen. If God was willing to give up the best He had, to give all He had for you and I, why shouldn't we be willing to give all that we have for Him? And see, the wonderful thing about God is God's not asking us to give our life up. He's asking us to receive Jesus as our Savior so that we can have a better life. We can have a sinless life. A life that's not driven by sin, but driven by righteousness. That we can have a life that leads us toward God and not away from God. Church, it's time for you and I. It's time for us to raise up and start being the church we're supposed to be. We sung that song, you know, I hear the sound of the church rising up. Well, it's time. It's time for the church to rise up. It's time for us to say, you know what, Lord? If you were willing to give your Son for me, I'm willing to give my sin to you so I can live that life of righteousness, that I can live for Jesus. If we do that, church, I'm telling you, everything changes. So I want you to stand with me right now. I'm not going to keep you too long. I want you to stand, every head bowed, nobody looking around. Let me ask you something. If you're in here and you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, why not? If you're in here and you're like I was, you're backslidden, you've walked away.